Hey, this is James Gunn. You're listening to Mad Scientist Party Hour. Is that right?
Mm-mm. Get away.
Hello there, friends.
Welcome back to another episode of Mad Scientist Party Hour. My name is Kevin Kraft, joined by a man who has burned away his pants and underwear and is currently using the voice to command a homeless man to jack his boner off. That's Dookie Boy the cocksucker himself, Jeff Clark.
The intro is a little more aggressive today. Hey, what's up, everyone?
And beaming to us from Arrakis, the bearded booger-eating spice addict known as Shuddy Boy.
You.
And I see we're both on doggy duty today, Shuddy Boy.
We are. Draven is not here to occupy the dogs while we record.
What does Draven think about the remake of The Crow?
He is not happy about how Bill Skarsgård looks.
Does he no longer want to be named Draven?
No.
I mean,
he's hoping, the conversation we had about it was that he hopes that the same sort of thing that happened with Sonic happens with The Crow, where fan backlash was enough that they redo it.
Might be a little too far gone for that. I don't know, like, you know, Draven, when we've hung out with him, he says stuff like lit and no cap or whatever. So I didn't know. I was like, oh, maybe this will be the crow, a cool looking crow for people who use words like that.
No, Draven's exact response was, it's Florida Joker.
Wasn't he suing Rockstar Games because he wanted... some of the Grand Theft 6 auto money to be paid out to him?
All of them were. All of them that were shown in that trailer, like the hammer lady.
All the creepy Floridians.
Yeah, all the Florida men that made it into Grand Theft Auto 6 want to be paid an obscene amount of money for their likeness being used. Hello, Lucy.
It's worth a shot, I guess. Hey, what's up, Lucy?
Yeah, I've got Lucy the goober duties today because Carl has some construction going on in her condo. And the last time people came to work on her place,
Lucy mauled them?
Spazzed out the entire time. Like 4 hours of... She makes these fucking seagull noises.
It's terror.
She can't be in a car. You put her in a car and she's immediately like... When you tell her it's time for a walk,
Kevin, you need to toughen your kid up a little bit.
If I put on a jacket, even if I walk near the door, she's fucking nuts, man. This little dog is nuts. I'll put it this way.
Little mama starts crying whenever we go somewhere and I park the car, she starts crying. It's like, I'm not leaving you here. Just relax.
Yeah, I wonder what goes on in their fucking stupid little pea brains.
I don't know.
I'd love captions.
It's it. He's done with me. This is it. He's done. I knew it.
Off to the glue factory. I mean, I'll put it this way. If Lucy was a human being, her and I would have gone to the same high school. She's a special,
gotcha.
Special little doggy. So yeah, now I'm on picking up her doo-doo, her poopers, if you will. Got to feed her. I don't even know how much you feed her, so I just pour a bunch of slop in a bowl and let her eat it. And it's like, all right, if you take
That's
mega dumps.
That's not true, is it?
You take mega dumps, you can fucking poop them out tomorrow.
You really don't know how much to feed her?
I mean, she's little. I just, you know. And Carl, oh my God, my fucking back. Carl's got like a specialty diet for her. Where she's trying to get her fully over to kibble from... Hey, shut up. Every time she hears a noise. Ruff, ruff. What are you going to do? You're afraid of dogs. Smaller dogs than you. What's an attacker going to do? That's right. You just sit there looking like a dummy.
Adam actually, of all people, gave me the current food the recommendation of the current food I have for Allie, and Allie loves it. She didn't even really eat her last food, so maybe hit him up. He's a bit of a dog whisperer.
It's working. Last night, for the first time ever, Carl tried filling the bowl just straight up with kibble for her last meal, and she just went for it. So
now, is Lucy spending the night tonight, or is Carl picking her up after work?
No, she's getting picked up tomorrow. Yeah. And she better... I'm hoping that Carl comes at a decent early hour in the afternoon, because
I'm going to see Fortnite time.
Well, no, I'm going to see Municipal Waste and Ghoul, so I want to do some early drinking.
Nice, dude. Are you going with anyone?
Nope. I don't know anybody that likes metal, so I'm constantly going to concerts by myself.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
Is Stevie B in New York yet?
No, almost.
He's not. He wouldn't go to a Municipal Waste show with you?
Nah. Nah, no one wants to go to metal shows, so I go alone.
I feel like Butt Package would be into it.
Carl went. The last time Municipal Waste was in town, she went. And we both got a little tipsy, and she actually really enjoyed it. She kind of likes Municipal Waste. For somebody who's obsessed with Taylor Swift, it's kind of weird, but...
Yeah, it doesn't fit with her brand.
Not at all. Fuck, man, and that just, like, led me to something that I wanted to bring up, and it just went right out of my brain. Oh, yeah.
Apartment.
Awesome.
Carl, dog.
Nah.
Municipal Waste.
Metal show. Nope. Day drinking.
It's all gone. I think I have dementia already.
It's like it never existed.
Yeah.
Could not have been important. Or you'll think of it while we're in the middle of talking about something else.
Yeah, I guess so. Fuck, man. That was like a great segue into it, too. And yeah, I think my brain is just turning into mush. I'm real dumb. I'm a stupid man. I don't know what's wrong.
I haven't been getting smarter lately either.
Exactly. You did mention, Jeff, like if it was going to cut into Fortnite time, and Fortnite has been officially retired.
Oh, wow. Poo Team 6 is dead?
Yep. Well, Poo Team 6 has taken up another mission. Had to have been like fucking 4 or 5 years of playing Fortnite, right? It was preposterous.
More than that.
Ridiculous. Fucking ridiculous.
Because I've been in this house 4 years, and we started playing a year or two prior to that whenever season one came out. We were still season one when we all got into it.
Yeah. And we played way longer than we should have. But it's just, it got to a point where like fucking, it used to be like if you're playing on a console, you can be in a lobby where you only play against other people playing on a console. And once they were like, oh, now PC people are in and you have no say in the matter, like it's nothing but cross-platform, it was all over. Like PC players can just assign an action to any key on the board. And if you're playing with a controller, you have to like hold one button down that brings up another menu and hit other buttons. And you just get, there's no contest. You just get, it's like, all right, so we're basically existing just to be fodder for PC players. So... things moved over to this new game. Have you guys heard about Helldivers 2?
No.
I missed the first one too.
So did I. But apparently... Oh man, Lucy just took her command center to the floor. It's like...
Oh, I thought you were going to say she took a poop.
No, she pooped right before... I walked her right before we started recording and she laid a big fat log. So we should be good for a little bit. But it's like Starship Troopers. The game is filled with this comically over-the-top pro-government propaganda, and then you basically go on a team of four, or however many people you're playing with, and you pick like a section of a planet, and there's Starship Trooper-looking bugs. And, you know, the more missions you do, you level up and you get currency and you can buy new gear. You can buy new weapons that you call in from above, like a hovering spaceship in orbit will, like, blast these little pods down where you get cool weapons or nukes or missile barrages. And it's kind of fucking sick. And you can also pick robot missions. There's, like, one section of a planet that's taken over by rogue AI, and it's basically like Terminators. So you switch back and forth between Terminator missions and Starship Trooper missions. And it is quite dope. I'm not going to lie. I'm really enjoying it. Although, whoo boy, I teased it last week, and I started up the movie night with Kevin Patreon, and I may have made a fatal mistake here. I'm not gonna have any spare time anymore. It is so much more fucking work than I thought it would be.
I mean, you're in for 2.5 hours at a minimum, right? Because you gotta actually watch the movie.
Yeah.
Plus on top of the research he has to do to be able to talk about the movie other than just
what
he gets from watching it.
Like the first two episodes went up. If you're on the MSPH Patreon, the first episode on Clerks came out there, and then the actual Patreon, the Clerks episode dropped, and then the Goonies episode 1 and 2. And the one I'm working on now is for Ghostbusters. And there is so much like behind the scenes info and alternate castings and all this shit. And I've been putting together documents. I've been reading essays by Ivan Reitman. I'm just about finished watching it with commentary, and then I'm going to rewatch it without commentary. And then, you know, the whole recording, editing, and uploading process. I've stepped in a big pile of it, fellas. I was like, hey, I'm watching all these movies anyway. I might as well do, like, little podcasts on them. Now they're all, like, fucking term papers.
But yeah, dude, when you discussed the idea last week, I was like, this is pretty ambitious.
I'll admit, I did not hear most of the conversation about the, I was in La La Land when we talked about it last week. And then when I saw the posts
great movie.
Go out.
Are you going to do that one, Kevin?
No.
And then I saw the posts go up on social media. I was like, oh, this is what Kevin was talking about on the show.
Why were you in La La Land? Were you just super high?
I don't remember. I might have been doing something for work. All I remember is you saying something, and Jeff's like, well, I was expecting 30% of it, whatever you do. And then the conversation was over. So I was like, oh, maybe it's just a new Patreon tier. I was really not. It has something to do with Kevin watching movies.
Yeah. Well, people have been pretty supportive.
It seems like, yeah. Good.
Got a lot of solid feedback. People seem to be really digging it. You know, decent amount of people signed up. So we'll see if people keep coming over, keep digging it. You know, I'll kiss my life goodbye. Keep doing it. It was mostly just because like I need another source of income. Like, after being somewhat unemployed for about a year now, it's like, all right, this is all the money I set aside to keep myself afloat has been steadily pissing out of my bank account, and I'm now in the danger zone. So it's like, all right, do I go get a 9-to-5 job and just royally fuck our schedule of being able to do this show, and then on top of that, all of the other shows we do for the MSPH Patreon? Because it's trickier now, you know, now that, you know, two of us are in our 40s, Jeff's getting close, you know, jobs, your guys' jobs have come to take up more time, and fitting together three schedules to reconnect multiple times a week to do these shows, let alone throwing in a 3-hour time difference in there that, you know, kind of nukes earlier and later times, that would kind of royally fuck things up with us. So it's like, all right, I could go out and just try and get a regular 9-to-5, but that could also spell the end of MSPH. So I was like, all right, I'll give this a shot. If I can get like, you know, a side gig, bringing in some income that I can sort of work around freely and don't have to lock in a hard schedule, which would fuck everything else up, that could keep it going.
Well, listen, this is just until John Cooper gets sold for $20 million and you get your star on the Walk of Fame in a couple of months.
Well, I like your ambition there, Shuddy.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
It's contagious. Love that ambition.
I mean,
what are your
our cameos are going to throw it, or what's going to put this movie over the edge?
I believe you're right, Shuddy.
Those were just the three little pushes the movie needed to go from great to being something that's going to be discussed about right alongside Citizen Kane.
A Hall of Fame five dicker that'll. Somebody else who does a movie podcast Patreon will do an episode on John Cooper.
Yep. This is going to be number one on the list of movies you need to see before you die.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
What are some of the 9-to-5 spots you're even thinking about working?
Honestly, when I started doing that thinking, that's when I got terrified and I was like, I have to start another Patreon. Because... I have a couple things going against me. One, I'm stupid. B, I dropped out of school. So I have no formal training in really anything. So I don't really know what I would do. It's not like I can just go become an accountant.
No. Would you go back to school again?
I would have to start a third Patreon to pay for school.
All right.
But I mean, who knows? I could ask a few people that I know that work for media companies if there are any entry level jobs. I just don't know what I would do. Like, you know, the people I met at the color grading studio. It's like, hey, can I work for you guys? Do you know how to do color grading? Nope, and I'm colorblind. It's like, all right, well, we don't really have anything for you, but thanks.
Well, yeah, that might not be a great spot to go to. But yeah, I don't know. You, I'm sure we can try to make MSPH work around whatever gig you find.
Let's just start a podcast network.
It's tough out there too, because like people I know that have had industry gigs for years and years and years, a lot of them are all getting consolidated. So big companies are just swallowing them all up and fucking laying everybody off. So there's less jobs and more people out there trying to find it because, you know, the system's broken, man.
True.
But anyway, Shuddy Boy, I have here in my notes that you shit yourself.
No, again, that is not what was discussed, as people will hear in the Easter egg. I had the worst diarrhea when I woke up yesterday morning. I had bubble guts to the nth degree.
My goodness.
That woke me up at 5:30 in the morning to shit my brains out for a half hour and then
human fecal matter
shit three more times by 10 a.m. And by shit, I mean pee from my butthole. And sadly, the only thing I can link it to is the halal I had on Saturday.
That definitely should be chief suspect number one.
Oh, God. My ass is declared.
It is literally all I ate on Saturday because it's two meals. So I had it for lunch and then I had it for dinner. And it was like, for some reason this time, it was like melt my tongue hot, spicy.
Oh, wow. So you just, oh no, my ass is declaring a holy war on my toilet.
It was fucking delicious, but yeah, it was bad. It was bad. Like, it was just pouring out of me with little effort.
Oh,
with
please.
With little effort.
Please be more graphic, Shuddy Boy.
I'm sorry. I thought that's what we do here. Yeah, I figured if you were going to have me talk about it, I better make it worthwhile.
There's a bunch of flies fucking circling my ass.
Yeah, yesterday morning was pretty rough. I had to eat like a handful of Pepto for it to finally calm down. But yes, I sadly think it was the halal.
God damn it,
but it
Draven.
Was delicious,
where's the,
and it's not.
Where's the Pupto Bismol?
It's not going to stop me from eating it again.
Yeah, that's like that. What was that South Park when they were talking about Chipotle? It's like, hey, we found this product that cleans the bloodstains out of your underwear after you eat Chipotle. And you're like, why would you eat something that makes you stain your underpants with blood? Well, because it's delicious.
Yeah. You know, there's
now I want
cost-benefit analysis, and peeing from my butthole is not a cost I'm unwilling to pay for delicious halal.
It's because you're a warlord, Shuddy. You will shit your pants. God be damned.
I didn't shit my pants. I did, however, yesterday was a day where I'm like, I might have to tell the guys tomorrow that I've shit myself. Because I don't know if I'm going to make it home.
I'm on the brink.
I have to poop again. And it wasn't even an intentional poop chicken. Like, it was, it just came on out of nowhere on my way home from work yesterday.
I've been known to jerk off on my poop.
Yeah, and then Jeff shows up and he blows a load all over your shit.
It's part of his brand.
How many times did I say that? Part of my brand is that I jerk off on my shit. I guess this morning. How do you have 2 sound drops of that?
Because you said it 2 different ways.
Yeah, I guess so. I was a real chatty Cathy about my routines.
You fucking nasty animal.
Oh, man. I'm not going to apologize. I am who I am.
That's the way to do it. That is the way to do it, Jeff.
No regrets, Jeff. No regrets.
Yeah.
Nope.
Man, have you guys heard about that show, that new show on Hulu, Shogun?
I watched the first episode.
And what did you say, Jeff?
I heard it kicks ass.
Oh, it's sick. Carl and I watched.
When's it set?
Like
1600.
Yeah.
You know, when the samurais were.
Oh, do they have any fucking 1600 samurai cars?
I didn't know samurais were done.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry. My bad. I thought they were maybe like Texas Rangers. It's like, no, I mean, they still need cops in Texas. Maybe they still needed samurais. And is it samurais or samurai?
Samurai. I don't think there's an S at the end.
Yeah, it's like sheep.
Yeah. Well, maybe they still need them in Japan.
Alternatively, there's a show on new show on Netflix that I've been watching called House of Ninjas.
Oh yeah, that showed up on like the autoplay. Is it good?
It's pretty damn decent. Yeah, it's actually.
Is it everything I want from a show called House of Ninjas? Are people getting fucking murked by ninja stars?
No.
Oh god damn.
I will. Hold on. I'm going to spoil something from the most recent episode that I watched. They get asked specifically about ninja stars, and they say they don't use them because it's easy, because they get left behind, and then people would know about them. So they do address
it. Well, that's why you get an intern ninja who just like hangs out in the rafters, and once the massacre is done, they jump out like a ball boy at Wimbledon and just pick up all the loose ninja stars.
But it's about a family who's ninjas for the Japanese government who suffer a tragedy and retire from the game. And then the rival ninja clan comes back to power and the government drags them back into service.
Do you see Lucy on the couch behind me? She's just using my thwomp pillows. Lucy.
Yes.
You see her? Well, that sounds kind of cool. I'd be into a show like that.
It is fun. It's fun. I really do enjoy it. I'm several episodes into it. But Shogun, the one complaint I have with Shogun, which would have gotten old Shuddy to stop watching it.
Subtitles?
Yeah, I just don't understand. I don't understand why it has to be subtitled.
Is the whole show subtitled?
No,
because there's
when people talk Portuguese, they actually speak English.
But when they speak Japanese, they speak Japanese and it's subtitled.
Yeah. So I think rather than like having two different sets of subtitles going around, they're just like, all right, let's make the fucking Portuguese people speak English.
Well, so what I think what I would have preferred that they do was something like the show Vikings did. And when people speaking the same language were speaking to each other, it was in English. And then when they were with people who didn't speak their language, then it was subtitled.
I can't remember what it was, but I vaguely remember some movie or show where at the start they were zooming in on a group of people talking and they were talking in like a foreign language. And like right when they got close to them, it transitioned to English and then it just stayed English for the rest of the movie.
Not, that must have been one of your artsy fartsy movies because it's not one that I've seen.
No.
The Exorcist, right?
Artsy fartsy ones would have fucking just stayed in a foreign language. But
didn't
I think
it start in Egypt?
The Exorcist?
Yeah.
Which one? The first one?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen that one in a while. Might have been Hunt for Red October, now that I'm thinking about it.
But Shogun is really good.
Yeah. Shogun kicks ass. You might actually like it, Jeff. It's like a Japanese Game of Thrones. There's like first episode's got a pretty fucking brutal death.
I might check it out actually.
And you know, and I know it's at the back of your mind, so yes, Jeff C. Tit.
Oh, Jeff C. Tit. Yay. Yeah. Is it Hulu or FX?
Hulu.
It's FX on Hulu. It's an FX show.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Is FX like, is that part of cable TV anymore?
Yes.
It's me. I haven't had cable TV in a million years.
Right.
FX is owned by Disney now, which is why Hulu is where.
Okay. Well, I thought I talked about this, excuse me, last week, but I've been watching The Bear. Did I tell you guys this?
Yeah.
You did not.
Oh, you must have told me during like Dragon Ball Queef or something.
Yeah, probably. I started watching The Bear, and that's an FX show, and they curse a lot. And I was kind of thrown off because I thought you couldn't curse like that on FX. But Jeff C. Tit on FX too.
Yeah, and like they have those little, you know, moments where the screen goes black and there's a commercial break.
Yeah, but most shows do that.
I think
when
they do that
scene transition.
They but do, think, but they don't stay dark for that long. And I think they might do that because so many people also subscribe to streamers with the ad tier. So it's just like a natural insert to have a commercial break. So if you don't have premium Hulu, I guess, then that's where they would go. But we just use Carl's account.
And does she buy the premium? Because I use the one, the $8 one that's not premium, and there's so many fucking commercials.
She's got premium Hulu, but bitch ass Netflix. So when we're at her place, we try to avoid Netflix as much as possible to get out of the commercials and shit. Man, they really fucking pulled a switcheroo on us, didn't they? Hey, cut the cord, ditch cable, come over to streaming. It's awesome. And then it's like, oh, all of our prices are going up. Oh, you've been paying for Prime? Now, if you want to stay getting premium Prime, it's $3 more a month. Otherwise, you get commercials too. It's like, holy fuck. My anus is thrashed. It healed up after, you know, cable had its fun. And then right when I got the stitches out, streaming rolls up like boing, boing, boing.
I got stitches out.
Fuckers, fucking scumbags. But here we are doing the devil's work, promoting their shit for them.
Well,
because Shogun,
The Bear kicks ass, and I'm about to be finished with season two. Season three comes out in June, so I'll get into Shogun. How many episodes are out?
I think the third one comes out today. And it's 10 episodes, so it's based on a book which they made into a previous miniseries, I think from 1980. And that Japanese actor that I really liked, the dude that was in like Seven Samurai and all the Kurosawa movies, he played like the main character who, I think his name's Hiroyuki Sanada. fucking kick-ass actor. He plays the same role that Toshiro Mifune played. He was like in The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise. Fuck, all I can think of are like obscure, just early samurai movies that he did. But if you saw a picture of him, you'd know who he was. He's a fucking G. And he crushes this show. He's so fucking good. It's sick. Like the second episode, Shuddy, like really sets some stuff up, and it really does feel Game of Thronesy.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed the first one a lot.
Yeah, and they're saying they
it's
might even do
visually striking.
They might do a second season. Yeah, it's weird. It's like the landscape of, you know, Japan from 400 something years ago. It looks really well done. Like the CG doesn't look shitty at all. They do this weird effect where the bottom and the top of the screen is perpetually like got like a little blur to it. Interesting choice, but I didn't find it all that distracting. I think you should give it a shot though, Jeff.
I'm going to.
I'd be curious to see if boobs and blood win over you having to read. Oh, fucking works.
Yeah, I mean, that's at least a noble attempt at trying to get me to do subtitles.
Shuddy, what else happened to you? I know you had like other things that you threw out in the Easter egg that I didn't have time to write down in the rundown.
What the hell were they? It was the bubble guts. Oh, the heartbreaking news.
Oh, yeah. Well, wait. Should we do this MSPH style and call it fart-breaking news?
I mean, you're really building it up to be more than it is.
Okay.
Just Taylor Swift's boyfriend's brother retired this afternoon, and I've been various states of emotional upheaval because of it.
I'm guessing he was a good guy?
Jason Kelsey retiring is a big deal for fans of the Philadelphia Eagles.
How long has he been on the team for?
13 years.
Oh my goodness. Has he played on any other teams?
Nope.
Whoa.
He's been there longer than we've been here.
But no, not by much.
We've been going for longer than 13 years. Was it 13 years and 4 months?
I guess I'm just counting myself. Sorry.
Because he was drafted in 2011, in April of 2011.
Oh, first episode of MSPH recorded early December 2010.
All right, so we got him by 6 months.
Yeah, we outlasted him. This is...
No, he's going to go get a 9-to-5 and can't keep up his fun job.
No, he's got his podcast that fucking... doing numbers. I'm sure he's fine. He's going to be fine.
Him and his brother Travis are going to be like, they're going to have their own version of like the Manning cast. They'll probably do like watch along shows and stuff like that. Watch along football games.
They better not fucking start watching along Deal or No Deal or Supermarket Sweep. I'll fucking beat those guys up.
I'm fucking moving our link, Kelsey's.
Yeah, you better not watch any... No fucking anime shows. You guys can't do anime shows. You can't rant into your phone while you're taking a dump. Our brand.
But we do, dog.
Well, my condolences, Shuddy.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do.
Man, really that...
Cam Jurgens is the answer.
That guy's really that big of a fucking deal, huh? Where his departure...
He's a Hall of Famer, and this is a little too nerdy for maybe the audience, football nerdy, but the center, which is a position he played, is actually the second most important position to a football team. Most people don't think that, but that's the case. No, because they don't like score touchdowns, right? They don't get into the end zone, so they don't sack the quarterback. There's no stat for a center. The only stat there is a bad one, fumbles. Like you don't want those. So,
oh, yep, that's definitely too nerdy for my pea brain.
Yeah,
but I'll take your word for it.
It is a big loss. because the strength of the Philadelphia Eagles for his whole career has been their offensive line.
Damn.
So,
well, I'm sure you guys will figure it out.
Good news for the Giants, though.
So,
I have to play that fucking guy twice a year.
Shuddy, you've got a brand new game for us that was kind of just organically hatched on last week's episode, if I'm not correct.
That is correct.
Not mistaken. We've even got an intro for it.
Oh, you,
if you'd like to hear.
I'm glad that that makes me happy, because that was part of the reason I was so upset with myself for forgetting to tell you when we talked about what time we were recording. I was like, he probably isn't going to have time to do the intro, but I'm so happy that you did.
Oh, yeah. I got your back, Shuddy. A happy Shuddy boy is a happy life. So here it is, the new game that we are going to be playing.
Thanks, you're pretty good.
That's right. It is the reverse letterbox D game. Jeff, for some reason, always picks like the deepest cuts of an actor. I don't know how your brain filmography cataloging works, but you will somehow find a way, aiming for the number one spot, to pick an actor's 30th most popular film. So,
bro, I thought I was going to win the Samuel Jackson one, The Negotiator.
I really want to see who can think up of a more obscure movie, myself or Jeff.
All right. So the object of this version of the Letterboxd game is to score the highest. So wherever the movie falls in their list,
it's how many points
is
you get?
How many points you get?
Oh,
Shuddy's got to count down to like 150.
Oh my god! I should have also gotten like thinking music.
So I have six for us to do this test run with.
Okay,
and I've picked some fairly, not fairly known, I've picked some famous people. Some that we've done a few times before, but we've always been trying to get their top, so it's going to be fun.
Okay.
And we're going to start with the people, they're going to go in order from least number of movies they have on their Letterboxd to most.
Interesting. Okay.
So the first person we're going to go with is good old Sandy B, Sandra Bullock.
Ooh, Sandy Bulbo.
She has 63 listed on Letterboxd.
All right. Who can get the lowest ranked Sandy Bulbo movie? Interesting. Jeff, is anything coming to the surface?
Not really. It's just movies that are probably popular.
Speed.
I have a feeling that this version of the game, Jeff is going to hit number one and two frequently.
Yeah.
I'm very nervous about looking dumb in this one too.
Who's going
Sandy
first?
Bullock.
While you were pooping.
And I will tell you as you guess where they land, because we're not trying to get in the top three.
Okay.
It really doesn't matter.
Sure. Do you want me to go first, Jeff?
I'll go first. This is going to rank high probably, but I'm struggling to think of other ones. It's definitely going to rank high. I'll go The Blind Side. Didn't she win an Oscar for that?
She did, but Blindside is number 10.
Oh, you get 10 points.
So 10 points right out of the gate for Jeff.
I feel like Kevin can do better.
Can you do better than spot 10?
See, I'm torn. Like, I kind of want to go with The Net. Because it's older. It's like one of her first starring roles.
And a lot of people, when they start a Letterboxd account, they tend to not go backwards. They only go forward. They don't like go back and mark every movie that they've watched. And I'm sure a lot of people aren't watching The Net anytime recently, even though I did, and it was fucking terrible. I saw it in the theaters when I was a kid, and it's fucking laughable nowadays.
How bad they whiff on the internet?
Yeah.
Like those predictions?
Yeah. It's like, oh no, these powerful hackers have a fucking 14.4 dial-up modem. We're in trouble, guys. They have an entire megabyte of RAM. But I also think she was in like that weird movie, like I think it was called like The Lake House or something with Keanu. And I think that one is probably a little obscure. You know what? I'll go The Net. Let's move this along. The Net.
Kevin, The Net, number 23.
Oh!
Nice!
Shit! Suck on my dick!
How did the Bird Box do? I was thinking about doing that one.
That's got to be too modern. Bird Box is too modern.
Bird Box is number three.
Yeah. All right, I made the right choice then.
What about Speed's got to be number one, right?
Speed is number six.
No fucking way.
Right, it's so random.
Man, and Bullet I will
train,
say.
Bullet Train is number one.
Oh, I forgot about Bullet
Gravity
Train.
Gravity is number two.
Yeah.
Ocean's 8 is number four.
Yep, it's modern.
The Proposal with Ryan Reynolds is number five.
Interesting.
What's Demolition Man?
Should be number one. One of the greatest.
Because I was going to go with that one too, but I was like, everyone. It's probably searching that movie. So why wouldn't they?
So other movies that were named, While You Were Sleeping was number 13.
Ooh. All right.
Demolition Man was number 17.
Fucking blasphemy. Jeff could have said Demolition Man and gotten way more points than he actually did.
Yep.
Crushing.
And then The Lake House was number 20.
Oh. Man, I tell you what, I can't wait to fucking do a deep dive on Demolition Man for movie night with Kevin. I want to know every nook and cranny of that fucking
movie.
You have
a schedule for that?
I'm starting to build out a schedule, yeah.
The next person has 89 movies.
Oh! All right.
Do you want to go first or second on Scarlett Johansson?
Oh, I'll go first. I'm ready to fuck.
All right.
Oh,
what are you
no.
going with?
Okay, okay.
Mr. Cocky Pants.
Okay,
if
so.
I would go with one of the Avengers.
That or a Wes Anderson movie. Those never do well. I mean, this is one of those times where like I really hope I get the title right, because Scarlett Johansson is actually in my like highest ranking of actors watched on Letterboxd. You know, like you like look at your stats. So I have seen a shitload of her movies, but there's one that I haven't seen, and I think it's gonna stink. But I might fuck up the title. The Girl with the Pearl Earring.
Fuck.
Man, Shuddy's really putting the work in.
Well.
Yeah, I'll get some music for you.
He's counting back.
I'm trying to find it. Oh, girl with a... It's Girl with a Pearl Earring.
What did I say?
The. But, I mean... We're not. But anyway.
Are you going to disqualify me on articles, Jeff?
Dude.
I'm not, but Jeff is when he sees that you got out of 89, you hit a movie that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Are you going to count
nine.
To 80?
Number 39 on her list.
Oh! Suck on my dick!
Bad as I thought.
Oh God!
Scarlett Johansson movies. God damn it! I'll go Marriage Story.
Oh my God!
And you would you pick number seven on her list. So
you've been meatballed.
Can you give us the bottom like few? So I can't remember.
Oh, what about Home Alone 3?
you would have gotten four less points. That was number 35. So movies that you guys would have heard of that came below Girl with a Pearl Earring. The Black Dahlia, Eight-Legged Freaks.
Oh, yeah, Eight-Legged Freaks.
The Black Spirit.
Dahlia. She was
and
in
that's
that?
Really it. Yeah, she was the Black Dahlia, wasn't she?
No.
No,
no, she was like somebody's wife. Like either Josh Hartnett or... Who was the other guy? Was it Two-Face? Was it
Aaron Eckhart?
Aaron Eckhart?
I really liked this movie when it came out, and I haven't seen it in years. I completely forgot who was in it. Oh, shit.
Kay Lake.
Brian De Palma directed that. Is he canceled?
I don't think so. No, I think you might be thinking of Brett Ratner.
Yeah. Don't want to confuse those guys. Don't want someone's legacy to be attached to Brett Ratner.
Yeah, I don't think Brian De Palma would appreciate that.
All right, Kevin, the next one, 92 films of Tollbooth Willie himself, the Sandman, Adam Sandler.
Whoa. All right, Jeff, you can go first on this one. I think I might have a solid one ready to go. But Jeff might be.
I have to pick something I haven't even seen. I'm gonna go Little Nicky.
You've never seen Little Nicky?
No.
You fucking wet fart. Little Nicky was like when his movie started getting like super dumb. But I was like, all right, but I'm still laughing. Like the part when they show Hitler in hell and they have him dressed up in a French maid's outfit and they're shoving pineapples up his ass.
Now that we're playing this game, I think I have a worse chance at this one because Kevin just knows so many more movies than I, and he can.
Well, Little Nicky, number 32, Jeff.
All right, not a bad score.
You set a respectable mark.
I'm going to fucking smoke you, though. I'm going to smoke you.
Okay, what are you picking?
I think his first movie, if it isn't Mixed Nuts, I think his first movie was Going Overboard, which has one of the funniest posters. It might have been like when they first invented Photoshop and they were like, let's make a movie poster with it. They made the poster for Going Overboard. Uh-oh. Shuddy's doing some serious counting. I'll get some music for you.
Bottom.
Number 62.
Yeah, I have no chance in this game.
All right.
Fuck.
He's got 94 films, and he's back to being Mr. Jennifer Lopez.
Oh.
Ben Affleck.
Ooh, this could be tough. Because, like, I feel like if you just start rattling off Affleck movies, you got to be like, oh, that one's got to be close to the top. Oh, but that one's got to be close to the top. It's like, it's just like a bunch of bangers all neck and neck with each other.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know very many.
Like, even his early stuff is like fucking iconic. So, you know what?
I am going to tell you one that's on his Letterboxd that neither one of you will guess because he's listed as uncredited as baseball fan at Fenway Park. So he happened to be at the baseball game in Field of Dreams that they went to.
Uncredited can't count.
But Field of Dreams is a popular movie, so... What would that be on his list?
All right.
Do you kind of get what I'm asking here?
Yeah.
It is number 22 on his list. I don't think it's that. At number four spots after that, he's credited as uncredited basketball player number 10 in the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Wow.
Oh man, I just had one. I fucking lost it, kinda.
I have a feeling that some of his more recent ones might, just because some of his early stuff is so iconic, even though he has small roles in some of them, they will probably still outpace some of his more recent ones that flew a little under the radar. Jeff, are you going first on this one?
No, it's your choice. Yeah. You get to pick if he's going first or second.
Oh. Yeah, Jeff, go first. Jeff C. Tip.
I heard this is like one of the worst movies ever, right? Geely? Is it Geely?
Oh, good pull.
With Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah. That's probably going to be less.
Isn't it like considered like one of his worst movies ever? Because he does have a pretty sick career. Like,
it's considered one of the worst movies ever. And yeah. I've seen it, and it is pretty bad. It doesn't have any redeeming value, like, you know, Samurai Cop or anything like that, where you can have fun watching it. It's just terrible.
Yeah, but it could be like one of those things where it's so terrible, and Jennifer Lopez is also in it, that maybe it does well. I don't know.
I don't think so. I think
you want to give me the score now, Shuddy, or do you want to wait till?
I think you got a good one.
No, I'm going to give it. I'm going to give it. You, out of 94 movies, you left Kevin only 42 to pick from, because this was number 52 on the list.
Oh, God.
Ooh. Are you keeping track of all the points, or is it just per game that we're doing?
No, I'm writing it. I've got a list.
Gotcha.
Oh, man.
I think you're going to make up some ground with that, because the things I'm seeing after that, I would be shocked if Kevin pulls any of them.
That was a solid move.
That was a great move.
I can't think of the one, but I think the one where he plays like an alcoholic basketball coach, I bet you that isn't very high up on the list, but I can't remember the name, so I'm just going to say The Accountant, where he plays an assassin with autism. Which I don't think I've seen that start to finish. I put it on in Hawaii when I was recovering from food poisoning and fell asleep multiple times.
You just let Jeff make up 36 points on you because The Accountant is number 15.
Oh, fuck. Damn.
So the 30 points you got for higher than on Adam Sandler just went away.
Vanish, baby. Cut right into that lead.
And now we're going to probably enter some realms where Jeff has a little bit of an advantage, and the targets are much bigger, because the second to last one we're going to do, with 145 credits per Letterboxd, The Governator, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Jeff, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go first.
You know what? Hold on. Let me just make sure I'm not. The movie that's lowest on the list that I've seen of his is 1, 2, 3.
See, once you reach Schwarzenegger status, like a lot of
number 40,
a lot of the bottom credits are documentaries, or sometimes if there's like a featurette on a Blu-ray, that'll get its own Letterboxd listing, and that's usually super low.
Yeah, we should do, like, I don't know, whether it be just like honors, the honor system, or gentleman's agreement, that we're just going for his movies.
I mean, even as much of a nerd as I am, I can't pull any of those.
I'll go with Jingle All the Way.
Weird move to pick a Christmas movie.
Jeff.
Huge error.
Kevin. That was number 8 on the list.
Oh,
no!
Ow! Ow! Ow!
Man, Schwarzenegger. You know what? I bet you I could just giz in Jeff's face if I could remember it. But Carl and I were swooping around Hulu a few weeks ago, and he did this movie with Jackie Chan that just screams. We have video evidence of the two of you 69ing, do this movie or we release it. It is so fucking bad looking. And I was like, oh, I'm watching this when I'm on my own. And I put it in my Letterboxd watch list, and I can't remember the fucking title. So I'm going to go to his first, I think his first leading man role, which was Hercules Takes New York.
So the movie you were thinking of, Iron Mask.
Yes. Yeah. I couldn't get the man in the Iron Mask out of my head. And I'm like, that's not it.
So we got a movie.
It's them when they're old.
It is number 50.
Yeah. That one seems like a real turd and I desperately want to watch it.
Hercules in New York. Number 46.
Nice.
Suck on my dick.
So you just got all those points back from Jeff.
This is a real fucking tennis match.
All right, Kevin.
Yep.
The final person with
156. Bigger than the Schwartz dog.
156.
Oh my goodness.
And
going to Quinn.
Most of these do appear to be movies. Bruce Willis.
Oh, well, there's two that are jumping.
The most random one. The most random one.
I've got a pretty random one too, but right when I think this might have been the start of his unfortunate decline of his health before anybody was even being given a whiff of it. He did this movie called Trauma Center, which had to have been like my children have been kidnapped. I have to make this movie to secure their release. 'Cause it is, but yeah, I'm going to go Trauma Center. Shuddy, do you need music? He gave me the finger.
Jeff.
Are you in trouble?
I would just put your cards down and fold. Because Trauma Center was number 102.
Oh!
Oh my God. How many is there?
156. So you've got
54 films.
Oh God.
I believe in you,
mine's
Jeff.
Not that random.
Oh, I was going to go to Die Hard.
I was going to go to the Jackal.
Oh, Die Hard 2, I mean.
The Jackal is kind of far down there. 1, 2.
Is that the one with Jack Black?
It's the whole 8 yards of the one, or is it a whole 9 yards? I feel like it should be 9 yards.
It was nine, and then the sequel was 10.
It was number 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So it was number 47. The whole 9 yards was number 40.
What about the whole 10 yards?
The whole 10 yards is lower on the list.
You know, that came out.
I almost said Hudson Hawk.
Hudson Hawk was number 43.
Oh, all kind of hitting the same area of the dartboard.
Also in that vicinity, Pop Out, The Kid.
Oh, The Kid.
Remember that? How about... Is it Striking Distance?
Oh, is that the one with the boat on the cover?
Yeah. Who he kicks ass. 1993. Dennis Farina's in that? Robert Pastorelli, Tom Sizemore, or Sarah
that
Jessica
is,
Parker.
Dennis Farina was a G. I love that guy.
That is two before the whole 10 yards.
Oh.
Man, I never had a chance there.
So
yeah, we got to go back to the regular game next time. We got fucking smoked. Dude, striking distance got 20% on Rotten Tomatoes. Come on, that movie's better than that.
Oh, that's a five ticker.
I wouldn't go that far, but it's
Bruce
good.
Bruce Willis on a boat.
So, Jeff, you score.
Bruce Willis's name in that movie is Tom Hardy.
No way.
Yeah.
So the scoring on this is similar to Queef or No Queef. However, you're Kevin Jeff. Because
Kevin was
on
watching
Bruce
ahead,
Willis,
huh?
Kevin scored 102 points. On all six people, you scored 155.
Oh, man, I used to be so much better at movie trivia than I am now. I'm embarrassingly bad. Good game, Kevin.
So, Kevin, you won with 287 points.
Oh, my God. Jesus. Man, there was Bruce Willis when he just started like having a new direct-to-DVD action movie come out every week. It was almost like they were having a computer generate action movie names. I think there was one that was just called Out of Death that he did. And it's like, come on. Yeah. The fucking production assistant getting you guys coffee could have come up with a better title. What are you doing? Out of Death? Sorry, guys. Can't kill you. I'm all out of death.
Acts of Violence. Survive the Night. Out of Death. Trauma Center.
Out of Death.
A Day to Die. 10 Minutes Gone. Paradise City.
Yeah, he really...
The grass is green and the girls are pretty.
Wrong Place. American Siege.
American Siege.
Oh, yeah. And then he did that Death Proof remake. Or no, not Death Proof. What was it?
The Charles Bronson movie.
Yeah.
Death Wish.
Death Wish. There we go. Yeah. Which people got all butthurt about, but I kind of like that one. That wasn't that bad. Well, sorry, Jeff. We thought that little tweak would give you an advantage, but looks like
it didn't help me at all.
I'm gonna have to reverse this intro again. That's gonna haunt my dreams.
Yeah, it's demonic.
Oh no, there's this Patreon out there that's performing satanic rituals. Well, good work, Shuddy.
Thanks.
That was interesting.
Yeah, good shit, Shuddy.
Did you gentlemen see any movies in this past week?
I did.
I tried to watch the Adam Sandler movie, Spaceman. Didn't go so well for me.
Did you fall asleep?
Wait, hold on. When you say,
I walked out of the theater.
Did you have technical difficulty? Okay. So, I asked you guys if you were going to see it before we recorded today. And yeah. There was a brief conversation where Kevin said that it was hit or miss that you would like it, Jeff. And I got about 15 minutes into the movie and I sent Kevin a text message that said, Jeff is going to hate this movie.
Jeff will not watch for 20 minutes longer.
Because I had to finish it today.
Oh, that's not a good sign. When Shuddy Boy has to watch it in installments.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do, but I was like, you know what? It's not worth it. I'm just not going to like it.
I stopped with 17 minutes left in the movie last night.
Really? Like, and you didn't finish the last bit?
No, I did not. Like, it was just, it was like 10:15. I wanted to play PlayStation. I had felt like I had been there for 3 days already. Like, I was just like, I hit pause and I was like, 17 fucking minutes still? Nope, not doing it tonight. I'll do it tomorrow. It's, I don't, Adam Sandler was very good in it. It's strange. I haven't seen Uncut Gems, so I haven't, other than Funny People, I haven't really seen him do anything that's not strictly comedic.
What about, what, you didn't see Hustle, the basketball movie?
Nope.
Oh, that movie kicked ass.
Was it because it's A24? Is that why you didn't watch Uncut Gems?
No, it just, I don't know why I didn't see it. Like, I have no problem with non-horror movie A24 movies. But that being said, there were times that sometimes the way that he speaks in his, in this movie at least, was too close to how the cadence of his funny voice is. So it was, it took me out of the seriousness. And I'll be honest, I was bummed that the movie was more about his marriage failing than about his space mission or his friendship with an alien.
Yeah. I mean, I said that while I was watching it with Carl. I was like, man, I really wish this wasn't about relationships. Because I do enjoy Serious Sandler. I thought Punch Drunk Love was really good. I'm one of the few people that really, really enjoys Funny People. It was actually one of the driving forces behind me moving out to LA. Just seeing like that whole interaction of Seth Rogen being a struggling stand-up, working at a grocery store, and all of his roommates are like also struggling actors, and everybody's kind of just like networking and trying to get into creative fields. I was like, that kind of feels like what I need to be doing. I need to be around people like that so I can kind of get out of being like a super low on the totem pole radio guy and kind of do something cool on my own and make something happen.
And you met me.
Yeah. And then all hopes of having a career went down the toilet.
Like
a turd covered in nut straight down the toilet. But
I liked how the movie looked.
I'm telling you, you missed out. Like the last bit of it is like the best.
I finished it.
Oh, okay.
I finished it.
Yeah,
I finished it. So I did finish it today.
When it goes like, I saw somebody call it Inter Sandler. It's like Interstellar with the Sandman.
Oh, I was thinking. Okay, I was thinking like Inter Sandman.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha. Inter. Gotcha.
I thought that part was cool. It was the relationship stuff. It's like outside of the obvious, like family members dying, just life catastrophes. The worst thing you could fucking go through are relationship troubles. Like isn't there that movie where it's like, I think it's Ryan Gosling.
Marriage Story.
No, that one was good. I always kind of fucking contradict myself, but I did like Marriage Story.
You're talking about the one with Ryan Gosling and Michelle Williams?
Yeah, where it's basically like a
blue
couple.
Blue Velvet or something?
Blue Velvet, Blue Valentine, something along those lines.
That's right, Blue Valentine.
She's watching Divorce.
Yeah, supposedly it's just 2 hours of a couple viciously fighting. And I was like, I already have fucking PTSD. I have no interest in watching that. I would rather watch a horse movie.
Sure.
And horse movies are my least favorite micro genre of a movie.
Like, but give me something like Seabiscuit.
Yeah. Like Black Beauty.
Black Beauty.
Yeah. Or like, what's that
Hidalgo
one?
Hidalgo.
Yeah. Hop Along Pete or some shit. Like,
Hidalgo is like the first movie I ever fell asleep in the theater at.
I could not give a flying fuck about movies that revolve around horses. I don't know why. Like Westerns, that's fine. But if the central theme is a horse, get me the fuck out of there. I don't want it. But I would rather watch Black Beauty than watch Blue Valentine because it's just so aggravating and nerve-wracking. I just don't... That's not... There's always got to be tension in a movie, but that is not where I want to get my tension from.
Yeah, that's not the kind of tension you want.
But that being said, their performances were great. It was kind of cool. Like, I had to Google it because I'm like, does this take place in the 70s? What the fuck is this technology? And it's supposed to be either like an alternate reality 1980s or 1990s. So the aesthetic was kind of cool. Sandman
the aesthetic
picks
was really cool.
The way outer space looked was dope. I liked all of his stuff with the space mission and his interactions with the spider, constantly calling him skinny human.
I mean, there were several solid jokes, I think, in the movie, like the aliens' fascination with the bathroom.
Yeah,
I really got a kick out of both times that they interacted in that room. Were funny. Like, I mean, I knew it was going to be a dramatic movie. I did not know it was going to be like a...
That dramatic?
Yeah, that kind of dramatic movie.
Yeah. Until like a week ago, I thought this was a new comedy. I was like, oh, wait, Paul Dano is playing a fucking talking gigantic spider? And
oh, is that space? Who the fucking...
Yeah.
That's who the fucking spider was?
Yeah.
Did it need to be... Does a spider ever turn into a human? And it's Paul Dano?
No, but I even said while we were watching it, I'm like, you know what? Now that I'm like, now that I know who's doing the voice, the spider kind of does look like Paul Dano.
So I could have been the spider technically?
Sure.
Oh, what are you doing over there, skinny human? You taking a shit?
Don't worry. I don't mean you any harm.
I just want to watch you jack off in space. Her giz in zero gravity is kind of cool looking.
Are you gonna catch it?
But I don't know. I was kind of like, ah, what a fucking bummer that this is all about relationships. But towards the end, it sort of ramped up, and it was kind of emotional, and you did feel for the guy, and I didn't hate it. Carl, on the other hand, boy, she fucking loved it. She was like, are you really going to put on a new Sandler movie? And I'm like, you know, Tim doing his dramatic shit. You might like it. And she loved it.
Shit.
So go figure. But I don't know. I'll suck like 3.25 space spider dicks. Paul Dano dicks.
I'm at 2.75.
And Jeff micro penis it, huh? You didn't even finish it.
Yeah. I mean, the 33 minutes that I watched was not enjoyable, and I got out. I would have kept it on if my brothers would have stayed in the room, but they're like, you know what? This is whack. I'm going to bed. It's like, I guess I can go to my room, too, and I'll continue watching this. Should have thrown out Shogun, because I've been meaning to watch that.
It was slow. I don't know. 2.75. I don't ever need to see it again.
Yeah, I don't need to see it again either, but I am glad I checked it out. And it's like, I don't know, I'm fucking in. You know, I will watch anything Sandler does. Like, no matter how bad the reviews are, no matter how bad the score, it's like, you know what, dude, you've brought me so many laughs and smiles over the years. As a fucking kid, I had his comedy albums just memorized front to back. And it's just like, all right, even if he puts out another comedy that's got 0% on Rotten Tomatoes or something, I guarantee you he's going to make me laugh at least once. And if Adam Sandler is going to make me laugh with at least one new joke, I will give him 90 minutes of my life. Because damn it, he's earned it.
He's an icon.
Yeah.
I understand.
I did also go to the theater and...
The Dune.
I watched Dune. I watched Dune Part 2.
There's this guy doing like the 60-second recap of Dune 1 on Instagram. It's actually pretty good. Did you guys see that?
I didn't.
Because the first one was a long movie, and it came out years ago at this point, right? Like 2020?
2021.
2021.
Yeah, that was like one of Carl and mine's first earliest dates.
Nice. So, yeah, it's been a while, so I kind of forgot what happened, and I actually did rewatch most of the movie, but yeah, there's a guy doing 60-second recap of Dune 1 to get you everyone ready for Dune 2, which I will be going to tomorrow with my brothers. Discount movie night.
Nice. Yeah, I went.
I'm going to have to spend $7.25 for that. So I won't be that mad.
I saw it yesterday at AMC. And, you know, Carl, I've seen Dune 3 times. Seen the first one 3 times. And that's because Carl wanted to rewatch it before we went and saw the second one. Because she's like, I don't remember anything that happens in that. So we rewatched that again over, I think that was Saturday. Saturday we watched the first Dune. And then Sunday, Dune 2 in the theater. And I thought it was solid. Like, you know, there's some big names get killed off in the first one. And then some big names get introduced for the sequel. Like every new character that popped up, they're like, oh, well, we have to get like a fucking A-lister for this. Like Christopher Walken plays the Emperor in it. And he kind of looks like my great-grandma now. Kind of a bummer to see. It's like, oh no, that's Christopher Walken now? Oh God, my heart just fell out of my ass.
That guy's old.
I know, but it's just like, damn, fucking time is a cruel mistress, huh? They turned Christopher Walken into my fucking grandma Lucy. But I do, yeah. I am a massive fan of Batista. That dude just fucking rules. I never watched pro wrestling. I never watched any WWE. I just saw him, you know, popping up in movies around Guardians of the Galaxy. And, you know, he's fun when he's doing his silly, you know, comic book movie roles. But then his serious stuff, like that dude's got Oscar winning chops, I believe. Even his tiny role in Blade Runner 2049, he's so fucking good in it. I don't know. I like him as a villain. I think he's a solid bad guy. I'd like to see him, as much fun as it is watching him be the hero and watching him be a good guy, he's a great villain. And he's pretty fucking nasty in Dune 2.
I think wrestlers are the best entertainers because, I mean, they're touring it, right? They're going into different cities every night. At least that's what it used to be. Obviously, most of the stuff is live, right? They're doing it in front of a crowd. There's obviously a physical component to it.
Yeah.
There's a bit of an act. There's an acting component to it. Like they're writing their own lines or whatever, memorizing their own like storylines and stuff. So I think that's like one of the more impressive shows you could be a part of. So
yeah, and it's
I'm
also,
sure acting is somewhat easy for him.
It's weird because, you know, in the first days of the WWF glory, you know, it was Hulk Hogan getting big roles, and they were just throwing him like silly bullshit.
Yeah, and then, Thunder Lips and Rocky III, it was pretty much Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, and then anytime he had to do something out of that, it was like preposterous. It was like Urban Commando and fucking Mr. Nanny.
Stop it. If you're going to say that film's name, say it correctly. Suburban Commando.
Suburban Commando.
With Christopher Lloyd.
Let's do a reverse letterbox D with Hulk Hogan.
I think both would be hard. Like, I mean, well, actually, no, that's fucked up. Like, Rocky is definitely his number one. But then, you know, Andre the Giant. If Andre the Giant didn't die, I mean, I
Hulk
don't know
Hogan
what he
has
could...
72 credits on Letterboxd.
Yeah, because they're all
Rocky
WWE things.
Is number one. Yeah, they are.
But like Andre the Giant was excellent in Princess Bride.
For sure.
Fucking killed it.
Him and Cary Elwes.
Yeah. But you know, he died way before his time due to his condition. And then it was kind of like people just getting silly shit. You know, it was a lot of people that came out of wrestling doing movie roles. It was straight to the knockoff bin in Blockbuster. And then The Rock just became a fucking superstar. And obviously, mostly action stuff or comedy action. And then John Cena was doing some action stuff for a while. But then there was like, you know what? Your lane is being silly. And now he just gets comedies, which is weird. You know, like cock blockers and that couples retreat series he's been doing.
Yeah, like John Cena did the Marine.
Yeah, yeah, that was like a direct-to-DVD one, right?
I think that one came out in theaters. The sequel went right to DVD. That was when the WWE was trying to do their own movies without anybody else doing. Like that Stone Cold Steve Austin movie, The Condemned, which I really fucking enjoy. I really like that movie a lot. I really enjoy that movie quite a bit.
But Batista, who would have thought Batista had chops like this?
I mean,
he's fucking good, man.
He is really good, and good on Guardians of the Galaxy for really giving him that chance.
Yeah, shout out to James Gunn. MSPH
alumni.
MSPH
alumni. Yeah. Yep. He's where he is today because of us.
I agree.
Certainly didn't hurt.
We really shined the spotlight on him early on.
Mm-hmm. He came on our show and he was just releasing video games, and then almost immediately afterwards gets Guardians of the Galaxy from Disney.
I think he even said when he was on the show that I have an announcement, but I can't say it yet.
He did, 100%.
If only I had reached out to him like a couple weeks later, because it really literally was that close. He was on MSPH, and then out of nowhere, he got announced as helping
Guardians
of the Galaxy.
Yeah, because he even said when he left that he would love to come back.
Yeah, and I was actually in talks with him to get him back after Guardians, and it kind of just all fell apart, and then he switched assistants, and I couldn't get a hold of his new one, and now he's just... he's too damn cool for the time being.
But we do have a James Gunn directed video on our YouTube, don't we?
Yeah. Of Jeff,
the one where you
doing a karate board.
Yeah.
Jeff, you've been directed by James Gunn. How does that feel?
Feels great.
You've been directed.
I dominated my part.
You've been directed by James Gunn.
That was back when Jeff liked to be adversarial with the guests.
Oh yeah, you told him how much you hated Super.
Can you come out exactly like that? But I didn't give Super a good review.
Yeah, to his face.
I told him it was mostly because I ate mushrooms and I was expecting fucking Juno and Dwight from The Office, and that is not what that movie is about.
It is dark. It's dark as fuck. But yeah, Dune 2 was fucking solid. I really liked it. I mean, the vision that I think you say his name, Denis Villeneuve. I would eat a fucking turd out of Jeff's ass to have vision like that. Like this.
Are they so focused on Zendaya this time around as they were in the first one, where it was just always like a dream sequence about her?
Well, no, now he has like different dream sequences because Zendaya is actually there. And Carl had that same complaint about the first one. I'm like, look, you got this girl who's one of the highest paid, most recognizable, biggest draw actors going. You can't just have her in the last 10 minutes. So they had to sprinkle her, like looking over her shoulder in the sand in here and there to be like, hey, remember, we got Zendaya. She's not only just in the last 10 minutes. But I mean, I remember, like, I was seeing people with the early reviews saying, like, this is Empire Strikes Back. This is one of the greatest sci-fi movies ever made. This is like a new high watermark for modern sci-fi. And while Dune 1, I thought was fucking killer, I'd say that's a 4.5 dicker. I think Dune 2 is the same. I think Dune 2 is also a 4.5 dicker. It's got... the new characters are solid. There's some new set pieces. There's some pretty crazy antics, some big action moments, and they can really just fucking... it's just got a vibe. It's got such a unique vibe that's so cool. That, I mean, the way he makes, like, the artillery, the weaponry, the ships, everything just feel... you feel the scale of it all. Everything is just so fucking gigantic that it makes you feel small sitting there watching it in a theater. But it is long. It's a long-ass movie.
It's like 2 hours and 45 minutes, right?
Yeah. But the good thing with modern sci-fi is there's so many animators and such a massive team that there's like 10 minutes of fucking trailer or of credits at the end. So it's really like a 2 hour and 35 minute movie. if that helps take the edge off.
What, is there going to be a third one?
Yeah. Because I could have sworn that originally it was going to be a two-part movie. And then out of nowhere recently, they were talking about the third one. And Denis Villeneuve wants to make it. But he's also like, I have four massive movies on my schedule, one of which I haven't even announced yet and I can't announce yet. He's like, but I do want to make this third one and then I'm done. So I don't know if that means they're going to try and make a fourth movie with somebody different. I've also heard that they're thinking about tying in a series as well. So they're going to do a Dune miniseries. And it's like, how about you just make the third movie and call it a day? Give this fucking guy a trilogy. I mean, he's got two movies that I consider five dickers. Blade Runner 2049 and Prisoners. Actually,
wow,
Sicario might be a five dicker.
Sicario is definitely a five dicker. Sicario is, I'm looking at his IMDb, came out in 2015. That and like Wolf of Wall Street, I think, are my favorite movies the last 10 years.
Sicario's excellent.
Fucking great. Like, fucking great. I love that. Sicario 2 was like all right. But like Sicario 1 was just iconic.
Yeah.
I love that movie. It like, it kind of hurt Arrival and Blade Runner 2049 for me because Arrival just sucked. I was not a fan of that. But it was like, I was so hyped for it because they had that guy. And it was the year after Sicario. I was like, fuck yeah. And I remember liking Prisoners.
Oh, Prisoners is Prisoners. Sick.
Yeah, Prisoners was good. I don't really remember anything about it, but I remember liking it.
It's weird because he does these massive movies. So like, you know, even Sicario, just the scale of it. Like when they're driving through, was it like Juarez? And like the whole time I'm just shitting myself. Like I've seen the movie before and I'm just gripping the edges of my couch. Like it's just so tense.
They're driving fast, like through the hoods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you see people hanging from the bridges that are just decomposing and decaying on the rope. And it's fucking heavy and it's so well done. And then you go to Prisoners, which is kind of, it's like a more low key, you know, there's no big special effects. There's no explosions. It's just like a child kidnapping movie. But it's kind of interesting seeing a guy who can do such big scale sci-fi like the Dune movies and Blade Runner. And then he just does like a child abduction movie that I think that one's a five dicker. I've seen it a handful of times and it's fucking crazy. It's so goddamn good. And I'm with you on Arrival, but much like The Accountant, which we mentioned earlier, I also watched Arrival for the first time in Hawaii in a hotel room bouncing back from food poisoning that I was 70% sure was going to end my life. So I should give it a rewatch with, you know, the in full health and see if that played anything into it. Because people really do giz themselves over Arrival. And I'm like, man, what am I missing? But I'm down to give it another shot. But yeah, Dune 2 is sick. There is some silliness to it. There is some stuff where I'm like, I don't even know how they got from the previous scene to this one. I feel like I'm lost. I feel like I missed something here. The sand walking that they do to trick the sandworms is very silly. You know, kind of, it looks like me after I sharp myself trying to get to the bathroom without making a bigger mess. But I'm ready. I'm ready for Dune 3. 4.5 dicker. So I'm curious to see. What were you guys' thoughts on the first one? Did you guys like the first one?
I enjoyed it.
It was pretty good. Yeah, like I feel you in the spot of the point about like his world building and, you know, how good of a job he did, like kind of setting the table, I guess, for the franchise and the movie. I want to dislike Timothy Chalamet, but I don't. Like, I like Dune. I liked What's the other one he was in? Don't Look Up, which was
oh yeah,
pretty good movie. But like he was good in it, and like it was well acted. And like I actually, that's another recent movie that I like more the second time I watched it. I was like, all right, this is kind of good. And just like kind of whatever I've seen him in, I feel like he's going to be a star and someone that I could, you know, I wouldn't hate going to see his new movie.
Yeah, I mean he's straight up Diesel. There's no getting around it. His name, Timothy Chalamet, and he's got like those little lines over the letters. It's like, ah, come on, dude. But then you see him act, and it's like, God damn you, you fucking handsome bastard! You're fantastic. Can't
yeah,
hate
he's
the guy.
Good.
On paper, we should, but can't hate him. He's just fucking excellent.
That's kind of like. I hate making this comp because there's no way he'll be this successful or this awesome, but it was similar. It's like similar type of vibe to like Leonardo DiCaprio, where it's like it kind of just like he went from like a bitch, like a homo, to like fucking awesome in like one in like
about?
One movie. I don't like. I just remember like thinking like he sucked in Titanic and like. The beach was gay and like all of it, like Basketball Diaries is fucking lame.
What?
All those movies are pretty lame. And then one day, like Leonardo DiCaprio got cool. And like, that's what I feel like Timothy Chalamet is going to do. Although I think his period of lameness was shorter than Leonardo DiCaprio's.
Man.
Come on. We're all old enough to remember. You didn't dislike Leonardo DiCaprio when he first came out.
Not
like when
really.
He was first popular, you didn't dislike him.
No, I think I was already.
I disliked him more because all of the girls were all about him.
Yeah,
it had nothing to do with thinking the movies were lame. It was thinking just specifically he was lame. But yes, when you frame it like that, Jeff, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Did Basketball Diaries come out before Titanic?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I like that. I thought Basketball
Diaries
was
good.
I've never
seen Basketball Diaries.
And what was the other one you hated? The Beach? I like The Beach.
But, oh, Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, hated that.
Piece of shit. Hated that movie, right? And yeah. That was like the beginning of his hype.
Yeah.
That was when his rise became quite noticeable. Was Romeo and Juliet.
And what's the...
And then Titanic, and then, it, you know, because it Romeo and Juliet was the start of it, and then when Titanic hit, it was just Leo fever.
Man, yeah, and at this age now, like I'm trying to... I'm going back to see when Titanic came out. 97, so I was 11 at that time. So, like... I don't know. It wasn't cool for me to like Titanic, right? And now it's kind of like, yeah, it's a good movie. And he's fine in it. But you know what I'm saying? Also, this is when it turned for me. 2002. Catch Me If You Can. One of my favorite movies ever. I fucking love that movie.
Yeah,
I'll
never forget when I saw Titanic in the theater with my mom and my little sister. And the credits start rolling and the lights go up and I look down and Joy is covered in tears and snot and her face is all puffy and she was like, I didn't even cry once. And I was like, oh yeah, you did good, Joy. You made it. Just drenched in tears and snot.
So
I didn't cry.
I feel like she's my age, right?
No, she's younger than you.
Oh, damn.
She was born in 91.
Oh, shit. Okay. So you took her... You took her to see that when she was six?
My mom did.
She's probably five.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. When?
I mean, that was, you know, that was still back in the day when kids could handle gnarly
or shit. Five-year-old. I guess not.
I saw Beetlejuice in the theater when I was five. My mom took me to see The Burbs.
I fucking saw Roadhouse when I was like four or five.
We're
so
still
I'm
talking
with
about Titanic, right?
Yeah,
like it's not so It's not so much the content of that movie that I would be concerned bringing a 5-year-old to as the fucking length.
The length
is more concerning, and getting a 5-year-old to sit still for 3 hours.
That's true, but Shuddy, because I know you're as into the Goonies as I am, the Goonies is like a 2-hour movie, and I never felt the length of that. Title of your sex tape, that's what she said. But I feel like 2 hours today when you're like, oh, there's this new comedy out, it's 2 hours. People are like, oh, fuck. That's like around the time, the length when people start groaning, I think. But the Goonies goes by in the blink of an eye. So I feel like as long as you're into what's happening on the screen, it'll go by quick. I mean, you know, Titanic is kind of a movie for little girls.
Oh, so you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. Come out very PC, but you get what I'm
with you on Titanic. I still stand by, I haven't seen it in decades, but I remember the last time I saw Basketball Diaries thinking it was sick, and I think The Beach is still a good movie.
Yeah, I'm more thinking Basketball Diaries, which I didn't really like, and Romeo and Juliet, which I hated that movie. I don't like, I will never see, what's his face, Baz Luhrmann. I'll never see his movies. And honestly, Baz, like, I'm starting to come around on Austin Butler might be good. There was like a video leaked of him doing like gun tactical training for Heat 2. I was like, oh, this guy looks like a badass. Is this movie going to be good? And I was like talking to my brother about it. He's like, no, he can act pretty good. But like him as Elvis in a Baz Luhrmann movie, whatever the fuck that guy's name is, I just immediately hated Austin Butler. And now I gotta I think adjust and plan on liking him because I think he might be a good actor.
Yeah, he is.
And he too could be good.
I mean, he's in fucking Dune 2 and he's awesome in it.
Sure he is.
And he's fucking weird. And I was like leaning over to Carl. I'm like, man, you think he's going to get fucking stuck in character like he did with Elvis, like this fucking space barbarian?
Yeah, he's like a crazy method actor, right?
Yeah. Like he got so into character as Elvis, he couldn't stop fucking talking like him.
Just eating peanut butter and banana sandwiches.
That would have been funny if he just truly could never break out of it. And he's in Dune like, here, come on, baby. Let's have a sword fight. Let's go into my spaceship, little darling. All right. Well, I think we've all done our proverbial gizzing in the pants for this week. We've gizzed ourselves. So, hey, thank you guys for listening. And if you would like to check this episode and many others out video-wise, I don't know why I phrased it like that. That was stupid. You go to youtube.com/madscientistpartyhour and check it out. You'll get everything but the Easter eggs. Those are audio podcast exclusive. And you can also follow us on Instagram. I'm at Kevin Kraft.
At Shuddy Boy.
At Jeff Rowe Records.
And at MSPH Podcast. And at John Cooper Movie. And you can also check out our Patreon. We do an extra bonus podcast episode every week that goes up right after this one, patreon.com/madscientistpartyhour. And then if you bump up to the $10 tier, you get the video of that and all of our joint/singular offerings, like What the Fuck Did I Just Watch with Shuddy and Dom.
Which you're going to be on next week.
I am?
You don't... Yeah.
Oh, no. I have so many things to do.
Okay. Because it's the St. Patrick's Day episode, which means we are doing
Leprechaun
4 in space.
Oh, my Christ. Well, yeah.
One of your favorites, Kevin.
Look forward to that. I've actually never seen it. The only Leprechaun movie I've seen is the first one with Jennifer Aniston. But yeah, I mean, Jeff and I just did a new episode of Dragon Ball Queef. We watched it was like the horniest anime ever. and it was so horny that it somehow managed to bum out Jeff.
It was too horny.
Too horny.
The pendulum swung too far.
Jeff see too many tit.
Oh, too much tit. Help.
That was a titty overload.
Yeah.
Which I didn't even think were possible.
What was it called again?
There was too much fan service.
Yeah. To the point where Jeff got bummed out. High School DXD, I think it was called.
Help.
Who suggested it?
I think it might have been Captain Diarrhea.
So he's the pervert.
I think. But yeah, that was an interesting episode. And then, of course, the ongoing sagas of Queef or No Queef and Supermarket Queefs, all that stuff. Check it out. Patreon.com/Mad Scientist Party Hour. And if you'd like to check out mine, Patreon.com/Movie Night with Kevin. First episode, Clerks. That's up. Immediately after that went up, The Goonies went up, episode 2, and I'm working on episode 3 right now, which will post on Friday for Ghostbusters. Very bonerific. And found some really, really weird, interesting shit about that movie.
It's boner time.
I believe that you should watch the movies that made us Ghostbusters episode on Netflix.
I should check that out. Probably get some more tidbits, or I'm probably just regurgitating a bunch of shit that they got on there.
Probably. Who knows? Maybe something new, maybe not.
Well,
you've been doing your research.
But either way, check it out. It's there if you're interested. Shout out to everybody who signed up already. And if you would like to get some sports betting, there's some sports changing of the guards happening. I don't know. Are there new sports coming out? Poop ball?
Well, March Madness is coming in a couple of weeks. Good call, Kevin. This week's Arnold Palmer Invitational will be the golf betting podcast I'll record tomorrow. One of my favorite tournaments. Arnie Palmer alert. Wee-oo. Trying to find some Arnold Palmer stuff. Arnold Palmer's. Dude, the Arizona website, they don't sell regular Arnold Palmer. They sell diet Arnold Palmers or strawberry Arnold Palmers. And the smallest case you can get is like a 22 pack. And with shipping, it's like $40. It's like, what? Shit's like 99 cents at the liquor store.
Just go to your local Wawa and buy some.
I don't have a Wawa. I'm going to have to go to Ralph's. But
I know.
Yeah, so I got NBA this week and Arnold Palmer Invitational. That's what's on the Outkick Bets podcast with Jeff Clark.
You don't bet on spring training baseball?
No, you can't podcast about it. It's got like a fucking 2-hour shelf life and no one is going to listen.
Oh, man, there's nothing coming out, man. I'm going to fucking Little League games and shooting up in the bleachers.
Yeah, it's dark without football, I'll tell you that.
Well, you're finding some sunshine, Jeff, in alternate means. So check that out. It's right there waiting for you. And thanks again, everybody, for listening. And until next time, something.
Chicken pox and chicken plops.
Oh, boy. This fucking email. There we go. Get the Zoom up and zooming like we're shopping at Zoomies in the Rockaway Mall. No. What's up, peckerheads? Sorry about that.
It's all good. You know, you have father duties. It's okay.
You don't say that when it's a dog, Shuddy.
At least this one's not retarded.
I don't think people are going to know what that means, but I like it, Shuddy.
I was just telling Shuddy about that conversation we had like the last time I was on Fortnite. Of when Carl asked you about children, and you're
let's not go there. That was for privileged ears only.
Only for arts. Oh man.
Yeah, but I'm on Lucy duty today. Fun.
Yeah, Draven's not here, so I'm on dog duty by myself today.
I mean, Lucy is adorable. She's a great dog. But I don't even like picking up after my own dukes. Let alone hers.
I know, I'm dreading the onset of spring because I have a yard full of winter dukes to pick up.
All right, let me shut these blinds a little bit. I look like I'm from fucking House Harkonnen.
Got a spotlight on you.
Come on, hop up here. Come on, Gooser. Gooseroni. Jesus Christ. All right, fine. Fucking stay down there then. What do I care? Built you this command center for nothing.
Why don't you just pick her up? She's like 3 pounds.
Well, she's 9 pounds, Shuddy. So joke's on you. Joke's on you. See, and now all she wants to do is get in my lap. Lucy, stay in your fucking command center.
Let her sit in your lap, Kevin. She just wants to be near you.
Her command center is right next to me.
That's a good girl. Our bitches should get together one day. Just kick it.
Lucy would hate that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think little mom would like it very much either.
Lucy is terrified of not only every other dog, just every other animal. Like when we're at Carl's place and we're walking around her development, everybody there has a fucking dog and they all know each other. So they're constantly stopping and having these long conversations, and Lucy's running away from their dogs. And it takes about 60 seconds before she goes and just starts like jumping like a bucking bronco. And Carl has to pick her up or else she'll just cry the entire time because she's so scared to be around other dogs. I don't know what the hell's wrong with this thing. Lucy, what's wrong with your brain? What's wrong with your brain? It's made out of dirty
diapers. Sounds like her father isn't socializing her enough with other animals.
Not her fucking dad. Plus, this dog spent 6 years with its original owner, so who knows what those goofballs did to her.
That's fair.
Turn her into a weird, nervous wreck.
I feel like it's hard to find a place in LA that accepts dogs.
Yeah, you're
like an apartment place. So, like, when you find one, most of the people that live in that apartment place have a dog.
Yeah.
Because they all kind of like funneled to the same spot, right?
It is crazy because every apartment I've lived in, I guess not the one with Seek. They were like, yeah, you can have dogs here, but, you know, requires your deposit. And then when we moved out and I asked for my deposit back, they were like, what deposit? We didn't do that. It's like, huh.
Dude, I went the opposite way.
You scumbags.
I went the opposite way. I got a little mama like a month after I moved in, and I asked about it. I'm like, yeah, it just requires a deposit. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I just never send the money. And when I move out, I am actually going to ask for the deposit back.
You should. It's a good move. Fuck these people. Hey,
can I have my pet deposit back, please?
We don't have the money here. It's like, what did you do with it? You told me to send it in.
I believe you told me it was $12,000.
All right, whatever. I'll set up for $1,000.
It truly, like, it blows my mind that, like, you can't go into a grocery store, you can't go into a mall, you can't go anywhere without people and their 15 poodles. Yet every place you look at is like, no pets. Wild.
Maybe they're just like banking on you having like the whatchamacallit emotional support pet like paperwork and being able to circumvent that, because you can't do anything about that. You know that, right? Like even if you
incorrect.
Don't. Okay.
True service animals, you can't. Emotional support, you can.
That's what I meant. I meant true, but you can. Yeah. So if you have the paperwork that says they're a service animal, no apartment complex can like turn you down because of that, or they can't evict you because of it.
Honestly, from the way it's been explained to me, because we can't have non-service animals in any of the stores. If the person with the animal says, oh, it's a service animal, that's where our questioning stops.
Yeah. We can't. Yeah, yeah.
So if somebody says emotional support, I can say, get the fuck, that dog can't be in here. But even if it's an emotional support animal and I say, is that a service animal? And they say, yep. Then I've got to be like, all right.
Yeah. Unless you're a poutine spot in Hollywood.
Yeah, for real. shit's wild, man. And like, I'm not supposed to have a dog. And, you know, we spend 2 weekends a month here and Carl brings Lucy. And then every time we go to walk her, the husband of the manager here just chain smokes by the front entrance all fucking day. Like, I don't think he sleeps. I don't think he eats. He's glued to that fucking bench and just chain smokes staring at his phone. So I got to walk by this guy with this dog and I'm like, ah, fuck, man. Especially now when we're all pissed off at each other. By the way, quick apartment update. Still smells like fucking mold in here. I have got to get the fuck out.
Does it smell like mold or does it smell like mildew?
I don't know. What's the difference?
Great question.
I don't think I know what one smells like and when the other one does. It just
like, does it
funky.
Just smell damp or does it smell bad? I guess is the.
Well, I find it when it smells damp that it smells bad.
Yeah, but
you are now in the Kevin Kraft vortex, Shuddy.
All right. Well, okay. Since you understand him so much, you ask me follow-up questions then, Jeff. What is Shuddy trying to get out of me?
I actually don't know. So you're on your own on this one, Shuddy.
I don't know. Like, does it just smell damp, I guess, is the...
Well, he's complaining about it, so I guess maybe it's damp to you, but awful to him.
I don't know. It's unpleasant, I'll say that. It smells funky.
Does Carl confirm this?
Yeah, I asked her this weekend. I'm like, does this smell funky? And she's like, oh, yeah, it reeks over there.
Okay, well, all right. That's all I needed to hear, was that a reasonable human also co-signed your neuroses. That's fine. I got it.
Yeah.
Does it smell like mildew or mold? Carl smells it, says it smells bad. Oh, okay. Questioning done.
So what does that mean then? Is Carl smelling mildew or mold?
Chances are she's probably smelling mold, because if it was mildew, it wouldn't be a big deal and she would not have agreed with you like that. I feel like she would have given it an answer like it's going away. It's not that bad. But if she says it reeks, then
let's put our scientist aprons on real quick.
Yeah, let's do that.
Shuddy, what is mildew?
Hands up.
Because it's different than mold.
I honestly... mildew is a certain type of mold or fungus. Oh. So,
look at us, learning as we go.
So if it smells like mildew, it smells like mold. But if it smells like mold, not necessarily like mildew. But
oh my goodness, my brain is so scrambled. Either way, I'm probably gonna get Brittany Murphy'd living in here. She's killed by the fucking mold in my ceiling.
I thought she overdosed.
Yeah, I don't remember Brittany Murphy going down like that.
Yeah, I think her and her husband both died from fucking black mold or something. Now, hold on. Did black mold kill Brittany Murphy? Breathing in toxic mold.
I could have sworn it was heroin.
Oh, whoops. Breathing in toxic mold was not the sole factor responsible for Brittany Murphy's death. However, it's speculated that toxic mold may have aggravated her health conditions. It could have caused her seizures and other symptoms. So I guess she didn't. Yeah, it says she died of natural causes, according to the
coroner. Yeah, under disputed circumstances, the coroner's verdict was pneumonia exacerbated by anemia.
Yeah, and that's like her like older kind of like chubbier husband guy, he died from the same thing.
One of the first touristy things we did when you moved to LA was buy a map to the stars and drive past the house that she died in.
Man, I don't remember.
I always thought it was a drug overdose. I feel bad now.
So did I. As did I, Jeff. As did I.
Look, we talk a lot about farts and grundles here, but every now and then you learn something listening to the show. And I feel like we've learned two things. Mold. Mildew is mold. And Brittany Murphy may have gotten murked by mold.
When did you start recording?
We also learned...
Yes, we are recording.
Okay, that you're cool. On doggy daddy duty. The triple D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we can talk about that in the main show. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
I have other stuff to talk about as well.
Nice.
And today's game? Sad, heartbreaking news.
Oh, no. We have heartbreaking news?
I woke up with bubble guts yesterday morning.
Wow.
So yeah, lot to uncover. Lot to discuss here.
I'm just updating
reverse
the rundown.
Letterbox D.
Yeah, I'm updating the rundown in my phone. Let's see. Shuddy shit himself.
No, I did not shit myself. That's not that is not what I said. Let the record show.
Are you done giving your are you gonna do an apartment update in the main episode, or was that that?
No, that was it.
I am curious though, are you any closer to finding a place?
Not really. Carl and I did go and look at a place. So I had to drive, you know, round trip to Culver City. We spent 10 minutes at this place and I was like, cool. It's got like a big living room attached to a kitchen, two bedrooms, two bathrooms. One bedroom would be, you know, the new Poo HQ, in-unit washer dryer, central air. Splitting the rent 50-50 is both a discount from what we're both currently paying. And she was like, it's a little small. And I was like, oh boy, I'm gonna be in this fucking apartment till I die, until she finds her Cinderella apartment. So I was just like, all right, anywhere I live is not gonna be Poop Slime Alley. So I don't even need to sign off on it. You find a place with two bedrooms and I'm in. you do it. If you're happy, I'm happy. So
she can actually look for places in Culver, like around her hood?
Yeah.
Gotcha. And if you're free,
is that because
if you're not working, you'll go to the apartment viewing?
Look at this weirdo. Oh, she's camera shy. She's weird. Anytime you pull a phone out, she starts acting funky. I think she can identify
cameras.
Oh, look
at it. She went and hid behind the coffee table.
Lucille
Blues.
Lucille.
Get the dizzies again.
Where are you going, Poohead?
Is that what she called her? Where to go? Or was it the spins?
I forget. Come on, Lucifer.
It's a show I need to watch again.
All right, just sit there and fucking stare at me like a weirdo then. What do I care?
Get your hand off my penis! This is the bloke who got me on the penis, people.
Penis, people.
This is the bloke who got me on the penis, people.
Part of my brand is that I jerk off my shit.
All right. I think everything is in alignment.
It's the first part of this. Part of my brand.
Yeah.
Recording in progress.
It's an accurate statement.
All right.
I
well,
techno-wise.
I am ready when you guys are.
I am ready. I'm going to have to kick these dogs out of this room, though, at some point here. Come on, sir.
Well, from Los Angeles, California, with a Mad Scientist Party Hour.